Now we're turning in our Bible this evening to Psalm 43. And I do pray the Lord will bless us together as we consider His Word, His truth, His gospel. You know, it doesn't matter where we turn in God's Word, whether it's in Genesis or Revelation or through the writings of Moses or through the prophets or the Psalms or through the epistles or through what we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Our message is the same. All Scripture is given of God, and all the prophets declare one message. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything in salvation. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification, and He is our redemption. Now, in Psalm 43, I'm taking the title for this message found in verse 2. Thou art the God of my strength. Thou art the God of my strength. Now, it seems to me that this psalm is a continuation of Psalm 42. Because twice in Psalm 42, we find this phrase that is stated here in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted or troubled within me? And then this glorious phrase, hope in God, for I will yet praise Him. That statement's found twice in Psalm 42. And we know that all Scripture is God-breathed, all Scripture is God-given, and it's been preserved by the mighty hand of God for His covenant people, for His elect, for His church. This word we call the Scriptures, this word we call the Bible, is God's love letter to His covenant people, to His church. Specially preserved for them, specially given to them, it's a message from God, the testimony of God, the will of God concerning salvation in Christ, and it's given unto us. Now you think of the great privilege we have of having God's Word written, given unto us, inspired of God, for all Scripture certainly is given of God, that the believer might have comfort and hope in reading and finding God's precious promises of salvation in Christ. All that God has promised, He is able to perform, and all that God has said will be done, will be completed. He said, I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I will do it. In Romans 15:4, these words are found. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Were written for our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We might have hope. We know the object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the foundation of faith, it's based upon not feelings, not emotion. It's based upon the word of truth. Our Lord said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Never pass away. Now, we look to the Lord that we might glean a few precious gospel nuggets from this psalm, that He might bless it to our hearts and speak through His word, by His Spirit, through His servant to our hearts. Now let's consider verse 1. And this is repeated also, verse 1 in Psalm 26, verse 1. And if David be the writer of this psalm, don't know that he is, doesn't really matter. All Scriptures, God-breathed, God-given. Writer declares, judge me, O God, plead my cause against an ungodly nation, an unmerciful nation. Oh, deliver me. Deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. The believer may rightly and truly appeal to God's justice, appeal to God's righteousness, both in the dealings and the sufferings at the hand of wicked men and concerning our sin and God's holy wrath against our sin. Now, two things here. The Lord our God will deal justly with those who abuse and misuse God's people. It's not for us to try to get even. Turn over here to Romans chapter 12. Our God will deal in due time with the ungodly and those who oppress God's people and those who persecute believers. In Romans chapter 12, look what it says in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil, Romans 12, 17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We submit unto the Lord's will in these matters, knowing that he will do right in due time. Therefore, he says in verse 20, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Now, I believe we can take that in two senses. Naturally speaking, if a man is hungry, well, you can feed him. But if he's thirsty, you can give him drink. But the best thing to do with those who are opposed to the gospel of God's grace is feed them with a diet of the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and point unto them where true spiritual water is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For when doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. That is kindness and warmth through the gospel. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So we can truly appeal to God's justice, God's righteousness, that he will deal with those who are opposed to the gospel in due time. But here's the second thought, most importantly and mainly, the believer can plead God's justice and appeal to God's righteousness to deal with our sin against God. For all sin is against God. As David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We can appeal to God's justice and God's righteousness to deal with our sin, because the Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied God's offended justice, being made sin for us. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. God made him sin for us, that substitution, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We can plead God's justice and God's righteousness to deal with our sin as our substitute died in our room and in our stead. The Lord Jesus Christ, because he accomplished salvation for us, has freely imputed to all his elect an eternal and justifying righteousness before God Almighty. Now that's the blessedness of the gospel. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. And we can say through the gospel, judge me. That is, judge my sin in my substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that I want anything to do with God. Judgment is in Christ Jesus. Judge my sin in my substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we read in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, that Christ once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. And that's what happened at Calvary. Judgment fell on Christ, and as God's people were in the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment fell on us. So we can say through Christ in the gospel, my sin has been judged in Christ, and there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then we can rightly say, plead my cause. Plead my cause. Christ ever lives to intercede for us as our mediator. He is pleading our cause, and by his grace, our cause is his cause. The glory of God, the furtherance of the gospel. The Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Judge me in Christ. Plead my cause, because Christ ever lives to intercede for me. And then thirdly, he says, deliver me. Deliver me. the Lord Jesus Christ has, and He will, delivered me from all my sin. Now, I want you to find in your Bible 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Deliver me. Oh, we need deliverance. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the deliverer who shall deliver all His people from their sin. He has delivered us and He will deliver us. I want 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians 1, 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and He doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us from all our sin. He is our deliverer. Now, Psalm 43, verse 2. Judge me, plead my cause, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. I think we can say, Lord, deliver me from myself, for I am the deceitful and I am the unjust man. Deliver me from my sin. And thank God by His grace, He's had mercy on this poor sinner. And I pray that He will upon your soul as well. Notice verse 2. Thou art my God. Deliver me because Thou art my God. Redeem me. And that's what redemption's all about. Redemption's about deliverance. Deliver me. Redeem me. Save me. For Thou art the God of my strength. Thou art the God of my strength. Now, why dost Thou cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? Now, notice that this is David's writing. It could be. Certainly a faithful believer who experienced the deliverance by God's grace through Christ Jesus. But notice the confidence here. For Thou art the God of my strength. It's not you might be my strength or you could be my strength. It is Thou art my strength. Confidence. Confidence. Not in us, but in Him. We can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that He's able to save. He's able to save. We know whom we have believed and He is able to save. To the uttermost. Thou art the God of my strength. I know I have no hope of salvation but in Christ Jesus alone. Now find Psalm 28, 8 and 9. Psalm 28, verse 8 and 9. He repeats this statement again. The Lord is their strength. He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save Thy people, bless Thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. Another place we read this is Psalm 73. Turn over there. Thou art the God of my strength. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and He is my portion forever. Psalm 84, verse 5. I believe this is stated again, and it is throughout all the Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 12, it says the same thing. God is my strength, my song, and my salvation. But here in Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. The Lord Jesus Christ is our strength. He's the strength of our salvation, for salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord from A to Z, from beginning to end, all the way in between. Every aspect of salvation, from election to glorification, salvation is of the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. He is the strength of our salvation. He is the glory of our salvation. He is the power of our salvation. Apostle declared in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God, the strength of God unto salvation to everyone that believes the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the strength of our salvation. I trust you can say, sitting here this evening, for thou art the God. Thou art the God of my strength. He's the strength of our salvation, for salvation's of the Lord. The strength of our salvation comes from thee, from Him alone, from the Lord. And the strength of our salvation is from the Lord, comes from the Lord, but most importantly, it is in Him. For salvation is not in the church. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Him. In Him. Now, I've jotted this reference down. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And this is exactly what is said in Isaiah 12. Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my song and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art the God of my strength, the God of my salvation. Hope thou in God. Now this strength here is not physical muscle and physical power, is it? And the power to accomplish fleshly things, but rather spiritual strength to rest in the Lord, to forsake all confidence in the flesh, and to rest in the Lord, and to find our hope in Him alone. Now, I want you to turn to a couple places. First of all, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. When the Apostle Paul prays for the church, he doesn't pray for their spiritual, for their physical well-being or their physical strength. He prays that they may be strengthened inwardly. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ in that inner man, in that new man created in Christ Jesus." Now find 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16, "For the which cause," he says, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 4, "all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, when we are weak and when we are whittled down to nothing, when we are stripped and laid bare, and when we know that all flesh is grass, that's when we are strong. When we are whittled down to nothing. And a growth in grace. Now, let's turn to one other scripture found in 2 Corinthians. You know, a growth in grace. How do you know if you're growing in grace? Well, I think it's seen in this. If you find 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. "As you grow in grace, you have a greater and greater esteem and appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He is and all that He has done. And you have a greater awareness of the sinfulness of your own sin. As we grow in grace, we realize more of our own wickedness before God. And as we know more of ourselves and learn more of Christ, He gives us faith to rest on Him and to find no confidence or strength or hope in the flesh. Now look what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul here had a trial. He called it a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, My grace, God's grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, when we think we're strong in ourselves, we are most deceived. But when we realize that what we are in the flesh is nothing but flesh, vile, wretched, and sinful, weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. He is the God of our strength. When we realize all that we have, you think about this now. All that we are, sinners saved by His grace. All that we know, He taught us by His sovereign revelation. All that we ever will be, we can say with the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. We owe it all unto our God in our strength alone. That's growing in grace. One of our ladies walked out the door this morning after the worship service, and she said, I'm seeing more and more of my sinfulness before God. And I said, that's growing in grace. That's growing in grace. Because it gives us greater confidence in Him when we see the wickedness of our old flesh. Our old flesh. And David here, if he's a writer, has this statement, Why dost thou cast me off? Why do I go mourning? Because the oppression of my enemies. Now there are many reasons why the Lord should cast us out. Why we should go mourning because of our sin, because of our iniquity. And there are times when we may feel that the Lord has forsaken us, especially when sudden calamities and tragedies and trials come our way. And sometimes we are tempted to say with David, as he says in Psalm 77, Lord, are your mercies clean gone? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Oh no. Oh no. He has forsaken us maybe for a little while, that He might draw us to Himself with everlasting kindness. Thanks be to God, He has promised to never forsake us, to never cast us out, to never leave us. He said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Don't turn, but let me just get this for you. I often remind myself of this scripture here, found in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. God will not finally and fully forsake His people. He may withdraw His presence, if you want to put it that way. Not that He really does, but the sense of His presence to teach us how dependent we are upon Him. But here in Isaiah 41 verse 10, Fear thou not, for God said, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will uphold thee, I will help thee, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, I am with you always. So we are to trust His word, not our feelings. Now our Lord said to the disciples upon His departing in His resurrected glory, He said, Go preach the gospel to all creatures, knowing that I have all power, all authority. And then He said, Lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Now, people say, well, I don't feel the Lord's presence.
He didn't ask you to feel His presence. He asked us to believe His word. I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I'm reminded of the words of Martin Luther, where he said, "Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. So I'll trust His unchanging word till soul and body sever. The words of men will pass away. God's word abides forever." Forever. Now, I like verse 3 of Psalm 43. Verse 3 of Psalm 43. "Oh, send out thy light, send out thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me." Light and truth does bring us to one place, His holy hill. I'm not talking about a certain mountain, but a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to thy tabernacle. "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto my God, with exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." Now, let's consider verse 3 for a moment. Trials that are sent our way come from the loving hand of our gracious Father, and they're working for our eternal good. "Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receiveth." These are but light afflictions, the apostle calls them, that work not against us, but they work for us. They work for our eternal good. Oftentimes, trials are sent our way to remind us and to teach us of our total dependence upon the Lord, and to cause us to cry out unto Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. So we cry with David, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth." The more terrible the storm, the more necessary the anchor. And He is our anchor. And we can say with Job, "I trust that though He slay me, yet I'll trust Him." So we pray with David, "O Lord, send out thy light and send out thy truth and let them lead me." Now, I think this is the meat of this psalm here. Let's see if we can glean a few gospel nuggets here. "Send out thy light and thy truth." Now, when you think of light and truth, you have to think of Him who is light. "I am the light of the world." And the Lord Jesus Christ certainly is truth. He's truth personified. Delightful and comprehensive words that describe salvation in Christ Jesus. Light and truth. Christ is that light. He's the light of life. He is the light of salvation. And thank God, He finds us in the dark, and He commands the light to shine out of darkness in our heart to cause us to see the glory of God, the glory of God's love, the glory of God's mercy in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He commands the light to shine. He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we pray by His grace, "O Lord, send out thy light." And in the light of life, we see Christ, who is the truth. "And let thy truth lead me." Send out light, send out truth, and let them be my guide. Let them be my shepherd, for the Lord Jesus Christ is that truth. Adam lost in the garden the way, the truth, the life. The Lord Jesus Christ is that and much more. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. He said, "I am the light. I am the truth. I am the way." He does reveal unto us Himself as the truth of salvation. Our Lord said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." He's not only the true God, but also the whole truth of salvation, and nothing but the truth. O Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. In the time when I go mourning, in the time when I'm oppressed with my sin, in the time when I feel I'm cast off, is God's mercy clean gone? O Lord, send thy light and let it illuminate in my heart. Send thy truth and let me see truth personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, let them, light and truth, Christ himself, lead me. Being led by the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, believers will never be lost again. He is our great shepherd. He found us lost in sin, dead and in darkness, but now being led by the light and the truth, we shall never perish in our sin because he is perishing our sin, because the scriptures teach he that hath the Son hath life. Hath life. I was thinking of this scripture on the way down and found in Isaiah 55. If you want to turn there, and maybe you want to make a notation in your Bible. Light and truth does lead us to Christ. And he is called here in Isaiah 55, verse 4. Behold, I've given him for witness to the people, a leader and commander. He's our leader and he's our commander. Let light and truth lead me unto Christ, and it does. Let them bring me into thy presence. He says there, unto thy holy hill. Unto thy holy hill. God, now, why is the holy hill here mentioned? Turn back to Psalm 2. It's not to a place, but rather to a person, because it says here in Psalm 2, verse 6, I've set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. So light and truth brings us unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them lead me and bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. It's a place where God's presence dwells. Then verse 4, then, Psalm 43, verse 4, then, I'll go to the altar of God. Now what happened upon the altar of God? Sacrifice for sin. Being led by light and truth that leads us and brings us to Christ, we will see that the altar of God is the sacrifice of God. Unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Then I'll go unto the altar of our God, unto the sacrifice provided by God, Christ in him crucified, for Christ is both altar, sacrifice, and priest, and the God to whom the sacrifice is made, for he is all and in all. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Being taught by the light, being illuminated by the light of the Holy Spirit, being led by the truth of God's word unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our truth, he leads us and brings us unto Christ and to that glorious sacrifice made on our behalf that satisfies God's holy law and justice that we have offended against God. Then I'll go unto my God with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. Unto God, my God, with exceeding joy. For Christ himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is our joy of salvation. You take the Lord Jesus Christ away from salvation and you don't have any salvation. You have despair of any hope. Christ himself is all our joy. He is a fountain of joy, the giver of joy, the maintainer of joy. But Christ himself, we do rejoice in Christ himself. Then it says, I will praise thee, O God, my God. He's a God of my life, the rock of my salvation, Christ is our foundation, and upon Him we rest. Back in Psalm 42, verse 9, turn over there. I will say unto God, my rock. He's our rock, and He is our foundation. Now, in closing, let's look at the last verse of Psalm 43. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? And that word there, disquieted, means troubled, upset, raging within me. And David's fear is settled by his faith, and he answers his own question, hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him who is the strength, the health of my salvation and my God. Why should we be cast down? Why should we question or be questioning our great God and Savior who works all things after the counsel of His own will? Why art thou disquieted, troubled? Why do we uproar and raging, and rather than submitting and bowing? David answers his own question, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Romans 15, verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. I will yet praise Him who is the deliverance, the victory, and all of our salvation. My God, my strength, my hope, send out thy light and thy truth.